Okay, so we're diving into cocoa today. You guys were really interested in this one, and honestly, after seeing the research, I get it. This is way more than just a gorilla who learned sign language.
It really is. Coco's story challenges us to rethink some pretty fundamental ideas about intelligence and communication in the animal kingdom.
Right, like she wasn't just mimicking, she was expressing herself. But before we get too deep into that, for anyone who just tuned in, Coco was a gorilla who became famous for her mastery of sign language. And I've got to say, the stuff she was able to communicate, seriously mind-blowing.
Absolutely.
So for this deep dive, we've got excerpts from coco.pdf. Fascinating read, by the way. And I guess one of the first things that struck me was, well, Coco's upbringing, born in a zoo, then raised at the Gorilla Foundation by humans. That's got to have some impact, right?
Huge impact. I mean, think about it. The Gorilla Foundation's whole approach was different. They weren't trying to get Coco to vocalize like earlier attempts with, say, Vicky the chimpanzee.
Vicky. Oh, right. I had heard that story, but honestly, until I read this research you sent, I never really put it all together.
Yeah, the vocal cords, the anatomy, it just wasn't going to work for chimps to speak human language. The Gorilla Foundation understood that. To truly communicate with gorillas, you had to meet them on their terms, which meant sign language.
And Coco just ran with it. Over 1,000 signs used, even more understood.
And not just used, but understood. And that's key because it gets to the heart of what makes Coco's story so significant. We're not just talking about rote memorization here.
Right. Like that example you pointed out, Coco inventing the sign for ring by combining finger and bracelet. That's, I don't even know, next level.
Exactly. That's abstract thought. She understood the concepts behind the signs and could manipulate them in creative ways.
Okay, see, that's what gets me.
Okay.
Because before this deep dive, honestly, I kind of had this idea that sign language in gorillas was more about, like, training. But Coco, she was forming sentences, expressing emotions.
And even recognizing herself in the mirror.
The mirror test,
Yeah.
right? You highlighted that in your notes. Explain that because I'll admit I didn't fully grasp how big a deal that was.
So the mirror test is a classic way to assess self-awareness. Most animals, they see a reflection and think it's another animal. But Coco, she knew it was her. That's practically unheard of in gorillas. It was a major scientific discovery.
Whoa. And this was all happening back in the 70s and 80s, right? It's kind of crazy to think about. You'd think everyone would be fluent in gorilla sign language by now.
Well, not so fast. There were actually a lot of skeptics back then. And even today, not everyone's convinced about the extent of Coco's abilities.
Yeah, I definitely came across some of those dissenting opinions in the research, which I think is really important to acknowledge because, like, we're not here to just tell you what to think. We're here to explore the complexities. And there were definitely doubts about Coco, weren't there?
Oh, absolutely. Some researchers argued that maybe she wasn't truly understanding language in the same way humans do. That maybe she was just incredibly good at reading her handlers, responding to cues.
Right, like that horse, Clever Hans, the one everyone thought could do math.
Yeah, Clever Hans, the classic example, right? But here's the thing, with Coco, researchers, they knew about Clever Hans. They designed experiments specifically to rule out that kind of cueing.
What happened? Did those experiments work?
Well, some skepticism remained. But a lot of researchers, even some who were initially critical, they came to accept that Coco's communication, it was the real deal. She wasn't just performing tricks, she was expressing herself.
See, and that's what's so profound about this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Because if we accept that, if we accept that Coco was truly communicating on that level, well, it makes you question how we even measure intelligence, especially in animals.
It's a huge question, and you highlighted this in your notes, how Patterson herself, she was skeptical of using things like IQ tests for gorillas.
Oh, yeah, because how do you even compare?
Exactly. It's like, she said, it's like measuring a fish's intelligence by how well it climbs a tree. Perfect analogy.
Right. You've got to consider the whole context of their intelligence, their strengths. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So it's not just about whether an animal can understand human language. It's about understanding their intelligence on their own terms. And when you look at it like that, it's like Coco's abilities. They just take on this whole other meaning.
Absolutely. Coco's story, it really forces us to broaden our definition of intelligence, to recognize that it can manifest in all sorts of ways.
And it wasn't just her language skills either, right? Like that story about Coco and her cat, all ball, heartbreaking.
Oh, their bond was incredible, the way she cared for those kittens. And then when All Ball died, the way she grieved.
Okay, see, that's what I mean. That's what really gets to me.
Yeah.
Because it challenges this idea that animals, they don't feel emotions as deeply as humans do.
Right, like empathy, grief, those are complex emotions. And Coco, she clearly experienced them.
And it wasn't just all ball, right? Didn't she actually have a bunch of cats over the years?
She did. She really loved cats, and she chose them herself. They weren't just assigned to her. It makes you wonder, what else are we missing when it comes to, like, the inner lives of gorillas?
It's amazing. And you know, she really captured the world's imagination, didn't she? Meeting Robin Williams, National Geographic Features.
Oh, yeah. Coco was a celebrity. Her story, it went way beyond just the scientific community.
But it wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses. There was that thing about Coco and, well, human nipples, which you mentioned in the research. And I have to admit, I was a little surprised to see that in there.
Yeah, it was unexpected, to say the least.
To say the least. But, you know, it also kind of makes her seem more relatable, more human. Like, even this brilliant gorilla, she's got these, like, quirks.
It definitely adds another layer to her, that's for sure.
So we've talked about Coco's life, her abilities, the debate around her intelligence, even her impact on pop culture.
Yeah.
But she passed away in 2018, so what happens now? What's her legacy?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is a big question. Coco's story, it's so powerful. But for me, it keeps coming back to this: what does it all mean for how we treat animals, how we see them, you know?
Absolutely. If Coco could break down those barriers we thought existed between humans and gorillas, what about all the other species we share the planet with? It makes you wonder.
It really does. And you're saying earlier how Patterson, she wasn't crazy about using IQ tests for gorillas. So is that the big takeaway here? That we need totally new ways of understanding animal minds?
I think that's a big part of it, yeah. Coco's story, it's like this call to action for scientists, for all of us, really, to be more creative, more humble in how we think about animal intelligence.
And maybe to accept that intelligence,
Yeah.
it's not this one-size-fits-all thing. Like, it might look totally different in a dolphin than a crow than a human.
Exactly. And valuing those different kinds of intelligence, that's how we move from just studying animals to truly respecting them.
You know, it's funny. When I first asked to do this deep dive, I was kind of, I don't know, stuck on the wow factor. Like, oh, a gorilla who can sign. But now, it's so much deeper than that.
What resonates with you the most after all this research?
Honestly, the empathy part, Coco grieving for All Ball. That just, I don't know, it changes everything. If they can feel that deeply, what does it mean for how we treat them?
It's a huge question, and I think Coco's legacy forces us to ask it. If a gorilla can experience that kind of empathy, well, how does that change how we see ourselves, our place in the world?
Okay, so as we wrap up here, I feel like we've gone way beyond just like Coco facts. What's the one thing you hope people walk away thinking about after this deep dive?
Coco's story reminds us that intelligence, consciousness, it's all much more complex than we often assume. She made us rethink our whole relationship with the animal kingdom, to approach other species with a sense of wonder, respect.
Wow. Couldn't have said it better myself. And hey, who knows? Maybe somewhere out there, right now, another Coco is waiting to be discovered, ready to challenge everything we thought we knew.